This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
I heard a lot of Bible stories when I was a little girl, but none of them did as much for my spirits and my general outlook on life than the story of Elijah. I could picture vividly the horseman swooping down and scooping Elijah off in a chariot, whisking him away to heaven. And I thought to myself, if God had done that once, he could do it again, just for me. The truth be told, I was slightly disappointed when I grew up and realized it wasn't really the chariot, but the actual whirlwind that had transported Elijah to heaven. But no matter, it was still the coolest way to go that I had ever heard of. Easy, painless, requiring no discomfort on my part. I wonder if that's the kind of people who we see following or wanting to follow Jesus in our gospel reading for today. When we meet up with him this morning, he has just been snubbed by the Samaritans who refuse to see him. Why? Because he has set his face toward Jerusalem. Now, you might think to yourself, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? I don't understand. And so you have to go back a little bit and remember that at the time of the Babylonian exile, Northern Palestine, known as Israel, practiced a faith that had been affected by the foreign invader. So their faith changed a little bit. Their practices changed. Southern Palestine, known as Judah, maintained the Orthodox faith that had been passed on by the Jewish tradition. Mount Gerizim, not Jerusalem, was the center of the Samaritan world. It was located at Jacob's well, where he had met Rachel and who bore Joseph. The Samaritans had built a temple there comparable to the one in Jerusalem. So to their way of thinking, Jesus was setting his face in the wrong direction. And then you enter our usual suspects, James and John, and I'm thinking to myself that their mama, who was known to coddle her boys, had let them play too many video games before church that morning. How about we blow them up? Take them out for you, boss. Jesus, who is no wimp, sternly rebukes them. There may not be a chariot or a whirlwind to rescue him in his final hour, but neither will he sanction the use of firebombs to destroy those who don't believe. Could it be that Jesus simply leaves the Samaritans in the hope that on another day, at another time, they too may choose to follow him and embrace the gospel? And then in rapid succession, we witness three encounters with Jesus by those who still don't get that following him comes at a great personal cost. There aren't any Holiday Inns. There's no, I'll get back to you, following you as soon as I take care of a couple of pressing issues at home. There's no rearview mirror. Martha Martin says, I'd like this passage more if when the prospective disciples tell Jesus they want to follow, he says, wonderful, glad to have you in the family, and everybody hugged. Instead, Jesus confronts us with the truth that we are not as committed as we'd like to believe we are. Our desires for comfort, wealth, even family, get in the way of our promise to follow him. You see, Luke's words should make us uneasy if we're praying glibly for the kingdom, yet lack the willingness to set a finger on the plow or take a bold step on the road. The question for us today is, where might Christ be leading us in this moment, that we don't want to follow? Are we here at St. Joe's? Aren't we here at St. Joe's also being asked to go a different way? Perhaps Jesus is calling us to single-mindedness instead of focusing on the distractions around us. In our own journey toward a new vision for a new day, that is a new rector, perhaps what we've been thinking of as detours, moving in a direction away from our own desires and intentions, is actually a call to single-mindedness, a call to plow a different future. Do you still think exactly like you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last year? Are you following Christ more completely than you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or last year? You see, if we stop learning and striving for the kingdom, wherever it may lead us, we've stopped following too soon. It is not enough to be informed. We have to be formed. It is not enough to understand. We have to follow. Our Lord is inviting us on a journey that's demanding and difficult and dangerous. But as we will see, when we finally reach Jerusalem, after the fire and the whirlwind, after all the denials, it is ultimately love, not time, that heals all wounds.